You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I want to give a shout out to PJ, who was listening on the live stream yesterday and actually brought this up, and we didn't have a chance to get to it. And then I walked in yesterday into Kelly's Greens in Wauwatosa, where the owner, Aaron Kelly, who is joining us now, is being interviewed by TMJ4. And I kind of ruined that whole take for them. Sorry, TMJ4. Aaron Kelly joins us right now from Kelly's Greens. Good morning, Aaron. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Good morning, Jane and Greg. Thanks so much for having me.
This measure to reopen the government, and there's a state element to this too, but let's start with the federal portion of this. In the measure to reopen the government, this includes something that is going to crush your business and many businesses like this around Wisconsin. And again, you own Kelly's Greens in Wauwatosa. What do you sell there?
So at Kelly's Greens, we specialize in craft cannabis products. Everything at our shop is made by me, or a maker that I stand behind, and everything is made in Wisconsin. So it's made by a maker that I trust. All of our products are third-party tested, only sold to people over 21 years old, and that's what we've been doing since we started this business 5 years ago.
Who are your customers, Kelly, other than me?
It turns out people like to feel good and people can't sleep. Lots of people are looking for alternatives to alcohol. So our customers are my age and older. It's certainly a demographic that's looking for help with relief from anxiety and pain and to help sleep. So it's usually about my age and older. We do have some younger customers too, but the people that flock to our store are looking for craft cannabis products that are safe and made in Wisconsin.
I think that it's safe to say that when we talk about the clientele for a dispensary, it's going to cross all lines. And one of those lines is political. People who voted for one way or the other, they want to take part in this legally available product that, as you said, can help them. I mean, not just with, anxiety, sleep problems, pain problems,
PTSD.
And I feel like that is something that we see in all the polls over the past few years coming, at least from Wisconsin, if not nationwide, that for the most part, most folks are on board with not only what's happening right now in Wisconsin, but taking it a step further to full legalization so they can access even more products. But this, I don't know about you. You work in this industry, Aaron. This story just hit me in the face yesterday. I'm like, wait, what? Where does this come from? And why? And when we were talking about it briefly yesterday, I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. Can you tell us what's happening at the legislative level with regard to this closing the loophole, as they call it?
Yes, they call it closing the loophole. I call it the law. So what happened is essentially in 2018, Mitch McConnell penned a bill that essentially legalized CBD on a federal basis. And the bill included language that anything derived from the hemp plant, as long as it doesn't exceed the dry weight of THC by 0.3%, it's also legal. And that's what happens when you have people at the table that write bills that don't understand cannabis. They essentially legalized THC from the hemp plant. And when you think about THC from the hemp plant and the THC from the marijuana plant, they're 100% the same. So what's happened is, fast forward, so that became law in 2018. The industry began to boom because just like you said, people here in Wisconsin and across this country demand safe and legal tested cannabis options. They want it. They've spoken. But we're just not making any progress in with the feds. So what happened is, my understanding is Mitch McConnell snuck some language into the budget bill at the last minute. Mitch McConnell was discussing shutting down the law with the farm bill back in August in the Agriculture Appropriations Committee, which seems appropriate. That's the bill that where it was created.
Right.
It should be discussed and negotiated there. But instead of that happening, when Mitch McConnell got shut down by Rand Paul in August, somehow there must have been a plan for him to sneak this language into the budget bill. So it was snuck in at the last minute. And it's just, it's sad and gross. Here we are in a government shutdown and we aren't able to get SNAP benefits and benefits that people need without prohibiting hemp in this country.
And you said something very interesting in your interview with TMJ4, and we'll put that article in the show notes. Prohibition never works. And we have a 13-year example in this country from 1920 to 1933, where they made alcohol illegal. And weirdly, people didn't just stop drinking all of a sudden. And alcohol just, it made things worse. People are going to access these products whether it's legal or not. But really what they're going to do now is they're going to get in their car, they're going to drive to Illinois or to Michigan and give them their tax dollars. That's what's going to happen. And it's going to put someone like you completely out of business with, by the way, I must say, little regard or caring from certain state lawmakers, which we will talk about in a little bit. But that it has devastating effects on you and everyone in your industry. And it's sort of like, well, if we get rid of it, it'll be fine. It'll be gone. And that's how it works, right, Aaron? When they make it illegal, it just goes away.
I mean, that's the biggest concern, right? So yes, it'll impact businesses, but it will have an impact on our community. Mm-hmm. People in our neighborhood have come to rely on these products and trust our products. And we are going to drive these perimenopausal women in my neighborhood that are relying on sleep gummies and CBD to buy drugs on the street. That's what we're talking about.
It makes no sense. It really doesn't. And why, again, why would Mitch McConnell reverse himself on his own measure? And if you're just joining us, by the way, on Matt Nair on Air, we are joined by Erin Kelly. She owns Kelly's Greens Cannabis Boutique and Cafe in Wauwatosa. And we're talking about a hemp measure that was slipped into the bill to reopen the government, which will essentially put Erin and other outlets like her out of business. And there is a state element, too, to this, which we'll get to in a second, Erin. But why would Mitch McConnell reverse himself? He is the one who made hemp available. Did he like get a donation from a particular lobbying group that may not want hemp to succeed?
I mean, that's really seems to be what we're hearing on the inside chatter of the cannabis industry, is that politicians are being bought and paid for, and they're making laws and prohibiting products because it personally will benefit them, and they don't care about what the residents of Wisconsin or this country want.
That would be shocking.
I mean, totally out of character for those individuals to flip-flop on because money. So, yeah. And I just also want to put forth, just we talk about this a lot, and I'm sure that you hear this too, Aaron, from politicians who want to pat you on the back for being a small business owner, because Aaron, you are the backbone of this community, this society. But guess what? I got more money from this group. So too bad. So sad. Why don't you just start a regular coffee shop? I'm going to go do something else. It's going back to the callousness of it all, not even taking in consideration that in 2018, they allowed an entire industry to start, people to open businesses. And now they're just going to switch it and say, no, not a good idea. We're good.
Right. The interview on TMJ4, the representative here right in the state of Wisconsin, who I just sat in front of in Madison last week, said, well, these business owners should have known. They should have known that they were going into this business that wasn't going to risk, that was going to be a risk. And it's just, I challenge that. You know, mm-hmm. You put a law into order 7 years ago, and if this truly was a loophole, then it should have been fixed in 30 days, not 7 years.
No kidding. So he had a problem with this 7 years ago and did nothing about it, and then waiting until all these businesses started, and now it's a problem.
Ironically, Mitch McConnell penned the Farm Bill in 2018. 7 years later, it seems as though he's got some interest from some from bourbon companies that don't necessarily appreciate hemp-derived products being sold across the country, and watching alcohol profits decline.
Well, that's
so it begs the question, you know, how involved are big alcohol and pharma here?
Well, and that's the thing that has always baffled me. And we had Dan Schaefer, he's our political editor here at Civic Media. And he, you know, when it comes to the, and this is a very side quest here, the notion of full legalization of marijuana, everyone always say that it's the Tavern League. And he called the Tavern League and they said, we actually don't lobby on that. But on behalf of what's happening right now, I don't know how and if they have any involvement. But it just seems ridiculous to me that, like, I know people who smoke weed. I know people who use products, get high, whether it's edibles or smoke weed. I know people who drink. That Venn diagram does cross. But the full legalization doesn't mean my friends can be like, well, I don't want beer anymore. I don't know. Aaron, is there any studies out there that you've seen that shows the decimation of the alcohol industry state by state that says when weed becomes legal, I mean all the bars close,
everyone
quits drinking, they just get on the marijuana and that's it. I mean, it seems like a really poor reason.
I agree. A completely poor reason. And no, I haven't happened to see anything like that. But interestingly enough, this morning I just read an article that showed when states legalize marijuana, the percentage of young people using marijuana decreases. And so it's count in point, you know, like it's just crazy.
It's not cool anymore, man.
Well, and again, the Wisconsin lawmaker who wants this to happen on the state level, their whole thing is it's about protecting our children. Save the children, protect our children. We can't have our children exposed to this. At the same time, my question to him would be, so if you're so worried about protecting our children, then I assume that you are putting pressure on your fellow Republicans on the federal level to release the Epstein files. And I'm sure you're also pushing for stricter gun laws, gun safety measures to protect our children.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's not happening
right.
from
it's
him.
Reasonable.
I just.
And so the person that we keep on referring to is Jim Pivo Varchek. That's a name. That's a real name. Pivo Varchek. He is a representative here in Wisconsin, and he is the one. And actually, when we come back after we get some snacks and some water, I've got the clip ready to go to give his reasoning. And we can talk about that further, because you're right. You're absolutely right. It's a very flimsy reason why he's so concerned. And also, again, the callous nature with which he approaches the entire thing is to say, not my problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I will have information for all of you on how to get a hold of that representative, too.
Because we can call them.
I've got phone numbers and emails. You can call Mr. Jim and let him know what your thoughts on this matter are. Because as we said before, this is a topic that crosses gender lines, age lines, color lines, religious lines, political lines.
And
People want it.
Shockingly, he works for us. It's just a crazy thing like that. We're going to continue talking with Aaron Kelly from Kelly's Greens Cannabis Boutique and Cafe. If you use these products, we would love to hear from you at 855-752-4842. Do you use THC-related products? Why do you use it? 855-75-CIVIC. You are listening to Matt and Aaron on Air. We are coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Aaron Kelly. She's the owner of Kelly's Greens Cannabis Boutique and Cafe in Wauwatosa, talking about a measure that got slipped in to the measure to reopen the government, which will essentially outlaw cannabis products, THC products of 0.3%. They want to change it to 0.00000% It'll amount to nothing. We wanted to find out if you use these types of products and why you do. 855-752-4842. Brett from Brown Deer joining us on the line. Good morning, Brett. Do you use cannabis-related products?
Oh, you betcha. I smoke weed every day. And I'll tell you why. I was near the end of my military career, I was medically discharged. I have chronic back pain. And for the last 18 months of my career, the military just pumped me full of Percocets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was getting as many as 60 a week.
What?
Jeez. I know. And it just masked the pain. It never did anything for my body, for my back. And once I left the military, a buddy of mine said, hey, just smoke some weed. And I bought weed and I've never looked back.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's illegal. I got my life back. I don't have to lay on the floor at night to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, it makes me happy and giggle. Oh, I'm really hurting someone. And by the way, I never really liked alcohol that much.
Yeah.
But the only time I'll ever drink a beer is if I smoked a little weed and I feel like, you know, other than that, I never drink beer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brett. Really appreciate you checking in on this. I'm going to share this just because we talked about it briefly. I stopped drinking last year. I stopped drinking on December 27th, essentially. And so I have been going to Kelly's Greens since then. I drink the seltzers that you sell. And like I told the guy from TMJ4 when I interrupted his interview with you yesterday when I walked in, for me, it takes the edge off. These seltzers take the edge off. But what they don't do that alcohol did, alcohol made me very, very confident when I should not have been.
Oh, so you're a man. You're becoming a man. That's what I live with every day, baby. Did I earn anything? No. But do I go for it? Absolutely.
But that has been my experience. Again, it takes the edge off. It helps me relax. But I don't feel discombobulated. It doesn't make me feel, you know, like I'm... It's a different sensation, and it's less severe. And for me, it's less detrimental than alcohol.
Yeah.
You must hear
Same
that a lot, Kelly. Or Aaron.
I do. There is a massive population that is choosing less alcohol. You know, I grew up in a time where if you weren't getting drunk and laying in a field as a teenager, what were you even doing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now, you know, the game has changed. You know, people are waking up and realizing that alcohol certainly has a place. Don't get me wrong. But there are alternatives that can that you can still relax, have your shoulders come down, love yourself more, hate people less, and sleep good, and not wake up in the morning and feel awful.
Like death.
I pushed to the limits of some Irish American alcoholism for years, and now I choose solely cannabis products because it's better for my mental health, it's better for my anxiety, and it makes me feel good, and that's not a crime.
And I want to go back and talk about, and we're not going to have time to play, that's fine, but I want to talk about Representative Jim Pivovarczyk. I got it. Pivovarczyk.
Nicely done.
He is the representative of District 98, which is Hubertus, that area of Wisconsin. He has a bill right now that has to do with the definition of hemp. And in that interview that you did, they also hooked him in there talking about the fact that using that thing of the children. I want to go back to the children on this one. And the fact that it's accessible. But as we know, you have to be 21 years old to buy these products, like alcohol. And I think in Wisconsin, certain cigarettes, you have to be 21 and 18. Like, they are absolutely
regulated.
And it's not like some 12-year-old walking into your shop and saying, give me a pack of this, and you're going to do that. He's trying to create this false scenario that it's a reefer madness type of situation. Kids are running around with CBD products getting high and running around Hart Park and Tosa. It's not the case. This is a regulated product like tobacco, like alcohol. And if he's that serious about this, then he should have the same sense of duty towards kids regarding all the other problems out there. And he doesn't. He's trying to scare us.
Correct. I mean, if we really wanted to protect kids, we would keep hemp-derived products away from the Tavern League. Why would we pass a cannabis product to the Tavern League that has done a poor job of monitoring DUIs, has promoted underage drinking. If we really wanted to protect kids, we would keep cannabis safe from the Tavern League for their own gross profit.
And I'm going to encourage you to go to our show notes today and give his office a call or send him an email. His number is 608-237-9198. I'll put that all in the show notes. Call his office. Tell him that if you use these products or if you support the access, that this is going to harm the people and our businesses.
Not to mention job losses. We're not even going to have a chance to talk about that. The people you employ, Aaron, and there are outlets all over the state that are employing all kinds of Wisconsinites. Aaron Kelly owns Kelly's Greens Cannabis Boutique and Cafe in Wauwatosa. Thank you so much, Aaron, for joining us. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Much appreciated.
Take care. We have news coming up next. When we return, we'll talk all things sports with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe. That's all on the other side. Look for my hands in that Channel 4 piece, by the way.
Look for her my head. Hands in there. Her head's there, too.
I brought my own bag. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. Yeah, it was not a good game for the Green Bay Packers, JR.
Definitely not. However, I'm willing to make that concession if I can listen to more from Fuel's untitled debut album, including the song Bad Day that was just playing just there. I love that song. I love that album.
JR, this isn't the flex you think it is. I forgot Fuel was.
You don't
want
to see this body flexing. I just want to listen to more late 90s alternative rock, baby.
Then I will take you to a county fair next summer.
I'm afraid I know you're right. I know you're right. Those are my people now. Those are my people now.
No shame in that. No shame in that.
No shame. No. Great food. A lot of deep frying and a lot of rock and roll from my generation. It's quite nice. No crowds. The Packers. What are we going to do about that team? They are in a rut and unfortunately very much on the cusp of falling completely out of the playoff picture. You know, as we wake up today, they are the number 7 seed in the NFC. It was literally last week when they were number 1 in the NFC.
Wow.
But things are really tightly packed. They lost to Carolina. That was a pretty bad one. I think, like, in a grand scheme, you can understand a one-score loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, the reigning Super Bowl champions, but the manner in which they did it, the pace with which they play, the inability to generate offense at all, despite another great performance from the defense. I mean, this is a trend now. They've had a lot of games where they just don't click offensively. They, even in wins, have not looked very good on that side of the ball, and it has cost them, and it has caused a lot of people to wonder if Matt LaFleur is the guy to lead the team, you know, into the future. I didn't think we would get there quite this quickly with Matt LaFleur, especially after the Packers started out 2-0 and looked really good through the first 2 weeks. But they're in a little bit of danger here, and they've got a very tough portion of their schedule coming up. They are backed into what is essentially a must-win this weekend against the New York Giants, which is the only team on the schedule that I think you could safely say is a game they should win, unquestionably should win. And without that, you know, if they lose this game, I think the calls for Matt LaFleur's job are going to get very, very loud. I think they're loud already. But at that point, you have to confront that they're just not a football. They're not a playoff team. And how did that happen when they seemingly went all in with the Micah Parsons trade before the season? Like they thought they were a playoff team. So what in the world went wrong? And I think a lot of people are wondering what is going wrong on the offensive side of the football.
And I'm looking at the schedule and, you know, between you and Paul Noonan, I'm looking at games here that the Browns and the Cowboys, and I feel like it was the Panthers as well, were all games that were said, well, they have this. This is just going to be an easy win. And, you know, they should have the win, therefore. And we look at losses and a tie. And my question is, when the rest of the season notwithstanding, what do the Packers need to do for the rest of the season to – keep themselves in contention for the playoffs. And Matt LaFleur keeping a job.
Yeah, part of it's out of their hands because it relies on health a little bit. They have to get their receivers healthy. Not having Tucker Kraft is a monumental loss. And I think you saw it against the Eagles. It wasn't lost on anybody when he left with a torn ACL against the Panthers. And not having him, you know, in my opinion, it might be pessimistic, but I think without him, they cannot win a Super Bowl. I think they went from a team that could to a team that cannot because they lost Tucker Kraft. That might be overstating it. Football's 22 men on a, you know, 22 man game. It's not something that you can write off to one player, but they relied so much on him and they have to figure that out. They have to figure out how to offset that. They run the football so much and it kind of has become their bread and butter. It's not working this year. It isn't working as smoothly as it did last year. And they move so slowly that they're not giving themselves enough chances to take advantage of the passing game. They're also just not throwing the football. They've become this notorious team on second down where they run the football almost exclusively, and it isn't effective, and it puts them behind the eight ball. They're ending up facing 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. And Jordan Love is, you know, he's still good. He's still, I think stats will back that up, that he is a very capable quarterback. It's either a matter of him just taking over and, I don't know, changing the plays like Aaron Rodgers did and get out of some of these running situations and play calls, or, you know, or Matt LaFleur just giving him the keys, you know, letting him actually make some more of these throws down the field, because we know he's good at those. And I don't know, you know, the receivers are very unhealthy. Matthew Golden didn't play. Christian Watson has been hurt. Jaden Reed is out. Romeo Dobbs has been dinged up. Like, they have been missing guys from time to time, and that is really hurting the passing game. But if that doesn't improve, it's ball game. Like, they've got a good defense. They've got a championship caliber defense. Their offensive line hasn't been good enough. Their pass catchers need to be better, and the overall offense they have to score points. They have to score more.
That's the whole thing about, yes, the whole points thing. If you're just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is here. We're talking about the Packers. Calvin, you had a question?
Well, I guess it was just more of a comment. The Packers, I know, are banged up. That does not help them on offense. But I think part of what's emblematic about how it kind of boils down to it being Matt LaFleur at the end of the day is play calls like a shotgun run on 4th and 1. Like, what are we doing? And then there's instances where you can hear on tape of defensive players in short yardage situations calling out what run play we are going to run, and then we do. Like, it has to fall in Matt LaFleur's lap to be more creative and more effective.
Yeah, I think in that specific case, what you're talking about is a key 4th and 1 play where they snapped it out of the shotgun, handed the ball out to Josh Jacobs. It got blown up immediately. And you can hear the Eagles players saying inside zone run, that they know it's coming. And that one play, I think in that case, is on Jordan Love. My understanding, and this is a little deeper than maybe my knowledge goes, but it seemed like maybe he called the same audible that he had called earlier in the game. Eagles sniffed it out very quickly, and I don't know why nobody called timeout or couldn't assess that something horrible was about to happen. But for whatever reason, they ran the play, and it ended very badly in a very costly situation. I do think, you know, Jordan Love does share some of this because, you know, he is the guy who's running the offense, and the offense isn't running well, so some of that does fall on him. But I do think play calling has absolutely come under the microscope here with Matt LaFleur. That's his job. That's what he was, you know, ostensibly brought here to do. And it seems like he has gotten more conservative over the last few years. He's just become, you know, that he once famously said all gas, no break. That became kind of a meme for a while. That's not who he is. You know, yeah. He's a guy who likes to limit the number of possessions, utilize the running game over and over and over again, try to control the clock, react to what the defense is giving you. And Paul Noonan will say this too. The defenses want the Packers to run the ball. It's just not as efficient. And so if they are backed out, you know, give them a soft front and second down, Packers are going to run against that. They're reacting to the defense, and the Eagles will just sniff that out and easily, you know, stop it for, you know, 3 yards, but still not enough to really move the chains and keep things moving. So at some point, the offense has to get aggressive, take the reins, and be like, we're not going to react. We're going to do what we do well, and we're going to live and die with that and move the football. And these better teams, like the Vikings defense, Vikings are coming up in a couple weeks. That defense will crush the Packers that you saw against the Eagles. That team is not going to move the ball against Minnesota. So they have to do some things differently.
It just doesn't make sense to me that if the run game is not working, why keep doing it? That's more of a rhetorical. It just does. I am, as you know, right. I'm not a football fanatic, but I appreciate logic. And as you and Paul have both said in this past season, when you give Jordan Love the ball to throw, he can do it. So why not exploit that option more often? If anything, just to throw off the opposing team. But if he can throw 300 yards or 250 yards a game, then give him the ball. Let him run it down the field and at least try that. Because what you're doing right now seems like you're banging your head against a wall and then going, I don't know why we're losing.
One of the defenses to continuing to run if you're not having success is it sets up play action, which is this play where you fake the handoff to the running back, step back, and then throw it down the field. The former Packers teams under Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre used play action to perfection. That was a key element of their offense. And if you're going to use that and have it be effective, it was effective at the couple times they used it against Philadelphia, but they're not going to that well either. They're not saying, okay, you think we're going to run it every time, so we're going to pretend like we're going to run it and throw it down the field. No, they're just running it again. So that part doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when they do have success with play action, with some of these other wrinkles. I'm not a play caller. I can't speak to knowing the exact answer there, but it does seem like it's broken through where Matt LaFleur is in a situation where he has to change something or he's going to be coaching for his job.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, J.R. Radcliffe is here to talk all things sports. J.R., has a NFL coach ever resigned? Or do they all just hang around and wait to get fired? I'm just curious because I feel badly for Matt LaFleur. I would hate to see him get tossed out. I guess I would rather see him resign with some graciousness and get out of the way because he had a great start. I hate to see it come to an end like this for him.
And I'm not saying that it will come to an end. I mean, he still has a great track record. You cannot deny his wins and losses. So they better be sure if they're going to move on from him. And certainly don't think it would be during the season. It'd be maybe after. But you better be sure that you can find somebody better who's stronger at the things you want to be strong at. Because Matt LaFleur has a great track record. I don't know why things have sort of devolved. He's not a stupid man. He's a very smart coach. He has had some success. Yes, that resignations have happened. I think what you see more of is guys just like conveniently taking a job somewhere else. College money is more than it used to be. Maybe you'll see more NFL coaches, not saying this is LaFleur's situation, but maybe more NFL coaches will say, hey, the money's pretty good in college right now.
Can do that.
Maybe we just go that way and it's mutually beneficial for both sides. I can see that happening. But
In the time we've got left, let's talk about the Bucks.
Do you want to? Are
Yikes.
You sure?
Yikes.
Do you want to play Bad Day by Fuel again? I like that. They're okay. They're in a major injury holding pattern right now. Giannis did not play on Wednesday night. They lost to the Charlotte Hornets, a team that is not very good, but does have Wisconsin Lutheran High School alumnus Con Knipple leading the way. So that's fun, I guess. They play the Hornets again tomorrow night. That will be at home. It will be an NBA Cup game. I fully expect Giannis will play, and it will be a very different looking game, and I bet the Bucks win handily. Right now, the Bucks are kind of treading water. They lost Kevin Porter in the first game of the season. Torian Prince is now out for an extended period of time. Giannis has missed a couple games. AJ Green left the game last night. They are struggling to stay healthy, and that's really, really killing them because they didn't have a lot of room for error anyway. They've got Giannis and kind of a bunch of guys that are supposedly, that are built to work with Giannis. Mm-hmm. So if those guys go out, it doesn't take long before you start seeing guys who are kind of at the end of the bench. And I think they're probably okay. I think they're fine, but they've lost a couple games and then barely got past Dallas Monday night when the Packers were struggling against the Eagles. Dallas is not a good team at all this year. They just fired their GM. So like barely winning is kind of akin to what you've seen. They're kind of just scratching by, barely getting through it. I think the Bucks are okay. They showed really well at the beginning of the season, and I think when they get healthy, they'll be pretty solid. But, it's definitely not great all the way around for what you've seen from the Bucks.
And I just want to say this real quick. Congratulations, Pat Murphy, 2 years in a row, NFL Manager of the Year. Pack of pancakes!
I wonder how he feels about it. He'll be the pancake guy, I think.
Forever.
Like, I think that broke a one-year contain. I think he's the pancake guy now.
Yes.
I don't know if he knew that was going to be on his in his career obituary when he pulled those out of his back pocket, but that's where we're at. Congratulations to him indeed.
It's going to be with him now forever. You can follow J.R. Radcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Thanks so much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple.
See you guys soon.
Stay with us. When we return, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the All Aboard Edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thanks again to Jim Santel for joining us. Mm-hmm. Also, Aaron Kelly from Kelly's Greens, which is a cannabis cafe in Wauwatosa, slipped into the measure to reopen the government was something that will essentially kill businesses like Aaron Kelly's in Wauwatosa. If you are a cannabis user, if you are if you use THC products, and you, this is of concern to you, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it.
Listen to it. Go to the show notes. Look up Jim Pivovarczyk's information. You give him a call. Send him an email. If you live in Madison, you can hear us. Go to the office there at the Capitol, because this will essentially devastate a sector of private business, and people will lose jobs, and customers will lose the ability to take care of themselves the way they should be able to privately, utilizing legal measures. And in my opinion, Jim Pivovarczyk.
Jim P, we'll call him.
Jimmy. Is using old school scare tactics to try to push his bill, and it shouldn't work. Tell them what you think. Give them a call. Write them a letter. Do it now.
You can always listen to old episodes if you miss anything, because we know you have a life. Mm-hmm. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shows at the very top, go to Matt Nair on Air, hit that, and that will take you to our show page, and we've got at least 2 months mm-hmm. of prior shows. Greg does a really good job of putting the show notes together so you know who the guests were and what the topics were and related articles and all such things. Right now, it is approaching, Calvin, 10:55. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from CBC Canada. Headline reads, "Man who took Hamilton bus on joyride did a great job driving. Left no dings, say police."
And just to be clear, this is Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, not a Hamilton fan tour bus, which I don't know where in Canada it would go to. But hey, who doesn't love musical theater?
Exactly. 36-year-old of no fixed address.
Where is that? That's
no fixed address. Let passengers on and off at bus stops. A man in a Hamilton City bus took a joyride on Tuesday with passengers still on board around 9 o'clock at night. A bus driver had parked at the terminal. They take little breaks. Yeah. While he was gone on his break, a 36-year-old man boarded the bus, sat down in the driver's seat, and drove away.
When asked for comment, the bus driver said he just yelled, "I got this route!" And he took off.
The bus was an extra long articulated bus. We've all seen those. They're huge.
Terrifying.
He did make several stops along the way, allowing passengers to get on and off at bus stops. At roughly any time, there were about 10 people on board the bus, says police officer McKenna. "There was not a ding on the bus. He did a great job." It's comical, but at the same time, it's serious. We're thankful no one was hurt. At first, some passengers didn't realize he wasn't actually a bus driver.
Of course not.
But when he started making some wrong turns, they started asking him questions about where he was going. One actually had to direct him back to get him on the right route.
That's... And it's Canada, so everyone was so polite.
Very, very polite.
"I'm going to be a little late, but that's okay. Yeah, I'm just going to get where I need to go."
He even went so far as to deny someone boarding who had an expired bus pass. So he was following the law.
I mean, okay, look, Jane, we've all heard the conundrum. How am I going to get a job with no experience? How do I get experience without a job?
Without a job, exactly.
So really what this gentleman of no fixed address has done is started to craft a beautiful resume. There's notes. We can work on it. We can grow. We can turn him into an A number one bus driver in Hamilton, Ontario.
Apparently, police were strategically following the bus. They never put the lights on because they didn't want to spook him. When the bus finally stopped about 15 minutes later, and they said he parked just fine. And the man was taken into custody without incident. He's been charged with theft over $5,000, possession over $5,000, obstructing officers, and driving while prohibited.
I love this story. I just kind of love it.
I just love that he had no dings and he did a really good job and he parked it well.
And usually you see those not in service or training buses, they're training on the regular bus. To go from zero to the extended with that
articulated
big
bus,
that accordion thing in the middle that just, oh yeah. My goodness, I mean, hire him today.
He should be a bus driver, apparently. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the Recombobulation Area, so I hope you can join us for that. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the stream and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next. Followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Pete Schwabba, Robert Pilot, and so much more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.